Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and today on the Age of Heroes, our quest for optimal wellness continues, and in Herculean Physique, we'll be speaking with Michael Del Rossi of Bold Spirits Holistic Concepts. Greetings and welcome, Michael. How are you?
Good evening. I'm really happy to be with the Olympians this evening. Happy to be with you, and I hope we can share some important information that can be integrated into our daily lives in terms of our diet, nutrition. So it's a thrill to be with you.
Same here, and I'm looking forward to learning all about cellular vitality today.
Well, what I'd like to do is open the program with some basic dietary strategies based on what we know at this point as far as nutrient-dense foods. And I think
okay.
if we keep that term in mind on a daily basis, I think that's a good jumping off point, if you will, in terms of our nutrition and what we consume on a day-to-day and week-to-week. I feel that the goal should be to get as much nutrition as possible from fewer calories. I think one of the problems, especially in American society, continues to be we consume a lot of calories, but as far as our foods being nutrient dense, they may be lacking. I also feel that seek low calorie foods that are nutrient dense and make these foods the backbone of our diet. And I think that's important as well. It's important to keep these things in mind. You know, we learn through repetition, and I think it's important, just like any other ritual, to keep these basic fundamentals in mind, that when consuming our nutrition on a daily basis, you should seek to have it as nutrient dense as possible. Non-fat dairy products, in our view, are better than full fat ones. There's a fat crazy crowd out there, if you will, these days that are encouraging the consumption of higher amounts of fat, even saturated fat. And this is coming from the holistic community as well. There are those who are now claiming that saturated fat, there's no evidence that saturated fat contributes to heart disease. I would vigorously disagree with that. And I have to go along with the American Heart Association that continues to recommend diets be low in saturated fat. I think also focus should be on the life extension potential of micronutrients, namely vitamins, minerals, and phytonutrients, which we'll get into in just a minute.
Okay.
Phytonutrients are naturally occurring substances that are powerful promoters of human health. So we can get into basically what are the fundamental phytonutrients. The first category is polyphenols, and these act as antioxidants. They have anti-inflammatory properties and are anti-allergenic as well. Some foods that contain these polyphenols are tea and berries. They're the basic foundation for consuming polyphenols. Next would be carotenoids. These are the pigments found mostly in red and yellow vegetables, tomatoes, pumpkins, sweet potatoes, carrots, apricots, mangoes. The important category includes beta-carotene, lutein, and lycopene. There's been lots of new research on lycopene, which I'd like to get more involved in maybe in our next program. But
okay.
lycopene has some powerful anti-cancer of properties, as well as cardiovascular promoting properties. So at some future point, I would like to get into that. These nutrients function as antioxidants. They protect us from cancer and can help defy the effects of aging. And last but not least of the three categories is phytoestrogens. Plant estrogens are naturally occurring chemicals found particularly in soy foods, as well as whole wheat, seeds, grains, and some vegetables, as well as fruits. They play a role in hormone-related cancers such as breast and prostate. So I think those three basic areas of phytonutrients and polyphenols and carotenoids are very important. They're critical, I think, not only in maintaining optimum health to the very best of our ability, but perhaps adding years to our lives. And having said that, I'd like to touch upon, if I can, what your latest adventures in diet have been, because I know I did read some of your exploration into the Atkins area of food and diet. And would you like to share some of that with us?
Sure. I went back on the what's called the Atkins diet, the phase one or the induction phase, because in the past I've had very good success with starting off my new adventures there. It's very similar but not identical to the keto diet, and it allows for a lot of vegetables. So I eat more vegetables on the Atkins induction than I have when I'm not on it. You know, it's a salad every day, a vegetable every day. So I did this because on my physician's advice, I started eating certain foods that were rich in carbohydrate, and my blood sugar became out of control in a very short period of time, and I was getting very high numbers, and I was not feeling very well. So I figured, like I do with exercise, if I take some time off, I go back to the Charles Atlas program just to get me back at phase one when I'm meditating, and I go off. I start again with the Silva method. That's kind of like my block one. So the Atkins induction is my block one with my diet. So right now my goal is to lower the blood sugar, and I have. It reached as high as the 400s, which it never did before. And I was eating carbohydrates every day, and that's very high.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my doctor suggested that I eat like grains.
Right.
And so I did. I started, and she suggested that I have like yogurt every day also. So both the grains and the most commercial types of yogurts are very high in sugar or simple carbohydrates, which get converted into sugar. So I went on that, and I started feeling very fuzzy, and my memory was not as sharp as it is usually, and I was feeling really miserable. So I went and got a glucometer. And I took my blood, and it's like it had never been that high. So I immediately, without delay, I used the week to ease myself into it, and then I got back on it. So now my numbers are in the high hundreds, which is still high, but it's a lot lower than 400. So I've gotten it down a few hundred. And that's what I'm doing. It lasts around 2 weeks, and if you're happy with the results, then you just start adding more carbohydrates in increments until until you have a bad reaction with your blood sugar numbers. So it's all pretty mathematical. It's very simple. It's easy to remember. And now it's online, too. So you could even go, instead of looking through boxes of books trying to find it, I was able to find it for free online by the Atkins people themselves. So very good, aside from getting my blood sugar in a more realistic and acceptable range. My brain is cleared, and I have more energy. So I'm going to continue it for another week and a half, and then let's see. I'll test my blood and see what happens from there.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's no question. I think, again, especially as we get older, our bodies change. As a matter of fact, I was just going over a chart that I have been introduced to, and it's interesting because it indicates how your body rebuilds itself in less than 365 days. This is put out by a medical institution. They say your entire body totally rebuilds itself in less than 2 years, and 98% in less than 365 days.
Wow.
Every cell in your body eventually dies and is replaced by new cells, which is very interesting. Every day is an opportunity to build a new body. And then they list some interesting facts here. They say your DNA renews itself every 2 months. Your skin rebuilds itself in a month. Your liver rebuilds itself in 6 weeks. Your stomach lining, the lining in your stomach, rebuilds itself in 5 days. Your brain rebuilds itself in 1 year. Your blood rebuilds itself in 4 months. And your bones build a whole new skeleton in 3 months. Also, what's interesting, in there are from 100,000 to 600,000 mitochondria in each cell, 2 trillion cells in the human body.
Wow.
Based on everything you just shared with me, and I believe all of this, I believe the changes you have made recently, I believe all of this comes from divine inspiration, I mean creative inspiration, from the Olympian mind, so to speak. I think we absorb information from our physicians, and of course we do our reading, but at the end of the day, I believe it's that Olympian mind that tells you this is the direction I think I need to go in now. And looking at this chart and seeing just what our body does and how it tries to rebuild itself piece by piece in every area, metabolically, from a standpoint of the endocrine system, you come to realize that good nutrition, or super nutrition, if you will, no matter what that might be for each individual, is essential. And I always feel this way, that if anything we share tonight can add a month of better health to someone's life through research and tapping into Olympian thinking, then I certainly think it's worth it.
I think it's worth it too. And again, as we both know, we're not doctors. We don't have medical degrees, but we're individuals mm-hmm. who care greatly about our health. And we're willing to share our journeys with others so that we learn from each other and support each other on our quests. One of the things that, I took the advice of my physician. Physicians are not trained in nutrition, however. And,
right.
I thought I would have problems with, the blood sugar if I did adopt that, but I figured let me give it a chance. My physician suggested it, so let me try it. And so I learned to trust my own judgment, better.
And that's the key. That's the key. And again, I think that I believe it's divine intuition. I think that's what leads us on the proper path many times. And yes, the fact of the matter is most physicians, right up until this very moment that we speak, are not trained in holistic practices. And they are not trained in holistic medicine. And with rare exception, I still run into patients, heart patients as an example, people I know personally, people I've known in the past, who are on statin drugs, and their cardiologist has made no mention, not a mention, of taking CoQ10 along with their statin, because it's common knowledge now amongst some cardiologists that the statin drugs weaken the heart muscle considerably over time, and CoQ10 can reverse that process. And of course, CoQ10 does many other things. It's a powerful antioxidant, and we'll be talking about this shortly. It's also is a mitochondria stimulator, one of the most powerful. But we have cardiologists today that still, as we speak, are not recommending CoQ10 along with the statin drugs that the patient may be taking. Now, that's not true of every cardiologist. I know people personally where they tell me their physician has recommended CoQ10, but it's in the minority, and that's what concerns me. With all we know, with all any information out there in terms of natural therapies that can help treat degenerative diseases like diabetes, cancer, heart disease, they're still in the minority in terms of what actual research they have done into some of these natural therapies. So it can, for me, probably till the end of my days, it'll always be an area of concern, and whatever I can do as a warrior in this field, if you must, I will continue to do so, because I think it's important. If anything we say tonight, if anything we share tonight, add more vitality to someone's life, I think it's imperative that we share this research and information, research that they may not have chosen to do or haven't taken the time to do. So I think it's critically important. I had a friend who passed away, was diabetic most of her life, and many of the natural substances I put her on did buy her some quality time that I know otherwise things may have been a lot worse over the 26, 27 years that we were very, very dear friends. So I saw these changes for myself, that these nutrients can work in the right dosages. And that's another key, is to find the right dosages. So I think the information we're sharing tonight is valuable.
I'm finding I love going back in time and reclaiming pieces of myself or parts of my life. I was at one time, when I was in my late teens, early 20s, into herbalism a lot. I used to drink herbal teas mostly, but I used to study on the different effects of the herbs. And I found now that the herbs in the herbal teas, which again are over the counter, ease a lot of conditions that I was seeking out over the counter medications for, trying to get something from my doctor. So like, for instance, I have been developing allergies since I've gotten into my 60s, and I get a cough occasionally. So I started drinking teas that ease the throat and ease coughing, and I'm finding that they work a lot better than, you know, cough medicine or, you know, the other things that I would occasionally take before to try to mitigate what I was experiencing. That's a journey I took a long time ago. I kind of left it there back in my early 20s, and now I'm picking it up again and delighting in what I'm learning and learning from what I'm experiencing. And again, like you said, it's the dosage. I found that some things, one tea bag's enough. Some things you need to like stagger them and take one over time, you know, within the course of a day. Eventually you figure out what you need to do. And it's gentle, it's natural, it has vitality, and it takes care of whatever the problem is.
Well, you're exactly right. And we know that the ancients, in ancient America, the natives, they discovered these healing herbs by experience, through experience alone, and even named many of them what they experienced in terms of their own healing and fighting their own deleterious conditions, if you will, with some of these natural substances. I know I've my own experience with saw palmetto and pyegium as have been very impressive for me to keep my PSA low. And now I'm 70, and my PSA is still excellent. And I don't know that it would be in the range that it is if it wasn't for the standardized saw palmetto and the pyegium that I've been using, for quite a number of years now. Pumpkin seed oil has also been shown to be very effective in lowering your PSA when it comes to the prostate. So for those listening out there, some men listening out there now or having prostate issues, I would encourage them to look into these three natural substances. I would discourage, however, there's a lot of advertisement on TV these days for the prostate, the proprietary blends, if you will, that are claiming all kinds of, not only will it keep the prostate healthy, but it'll make you more exciting in bed, if you will. And I would put out a caution for most of these proprietary blends they see advertised on TV really don't work. And if they work at all, the effects are minimal. I would always recommend, when you buy herbs, no matter what you may be treating, to look for the standardized herb as opposed to a whole leaf herb, because standardized herbs seem to be more effective. So I would always look for 70 to 85% standardized, whatever herbs you buy in supplement form. Teas are okay. Tea and decoctions are fine. But when it comes to pill form, I would suggest that we always look for a standardized herb, 70 to 85% standardized, especially when we're dealing with the prostate and menopausal symptoms. As another example, there are some herbs that are very effective out there for postmenopausal symptoms. Red clover, something called genistine, diadesian, which are from soy, which can be very effective in relieving some of the, which can be very, very difficult symptoms in terms of postmenopausal experience. So for the women out there, I would recommend that they look into these herbs and soy extracts because they can be very beneficial. And while they will duplicate the protective benefits of estrogen, they would not put the body into the same risk area that estrogen might. We have doctors in the immortality game, if you will, merchants of immortality, as we sometimes call them, who are very high in recommending hormones these days, testosterone and estrogen. I would always say that should always be the last resort for both men and women. If there's a natural way to treat these symptoms, by all means, look into those first. Do your research because they can work and they do work.
Very, very true.
Go ahead. No, I want to hear what you have to say.
No, it's a journey. And again, sometimes you seem to go, all of us do, in circles or spirals. But as long as you're on the journey, you get something from even returning to a place where you were.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, when we look at how our bodies change as we get older, you realize certain things. And I've realized certain things as well as I continue to get older. My sugar levels have always been good, but there may be a time on my diet has basically been higher carbohydrates for, I guess, 40 years now. But there may be a time when my body doesn't handle sugar as well as it once did. And I might have to make a change. I might have to manipulate my daily nutritional intake. I might have to start eating meat. I might have to start eating light protein, chicken or fish, because the fact of the matter is our bodies do change, our cells change, and they renew and they do not renew the same as they once did. So I may not have had a sugar problem, as an example, 10 years ago, but I may have that in the next year, at which point I would have to manipulate my program. But that's where I think, and you made an excellent point, in terms of your recent experience, this is where creative mind comes in. And this is part of our Olympian journey. And we're all Olympians in our own lives. And making creative decisions for better health is really our responsibility. We can visit our physicians, and they have our best interests at heart. But they simply may not know what you know, or the knowledge that you have gleaned, if you will, in terms of natural therapies and how your body reacts to certain things. So the fact that, I personally appreciate the experience you shared with us tonight, because I think that's a prime example. We need to be our own physicians when it comes to listening carefully to what our bodies are telling us. So I think that it's good that we're able to share this information and the research that we've been doing.
Oh, most certainly so. It's great having Ryan Foley also and Bill Hinburn on the Herculean Physique segment, and they shared their journeys very generously as well. We should do a show where we have all of us together sharing information one day.
I would certainly like to do that. I think it would be very beneficial to those things. Second half of this, and it's something that this segment, and it's something that I feel is a coming science, a growing science, is mitochondrial science. and how we can enhance the vitality of ourselves. And I think slowing aging, if you will, or the symptoms of aging, really starts at the cellular level. And I think that we've just shown that by the chart we reviewed. And I think the basic antioxidants we are very familiar with to combat free radical activity and inflammation oxidation. They're target nutrients to enhance cellular health as well by creating mitochondrial vitality and energy. So I think the whole thing, as we move forward and try to create quality years in our lives, I think it's on two fronts. I think it's, of course, taking in the basic antioxidants that we're familiar with to fight oxidation. And even as athletes, and exercising daily, of course, and everything, the regular exercise program is a good thing. But that creates oxidation, believe it or not, which can be a problem, enhanced oxidation. And that's why antioxidants are important, even for athletes, because we do create more oxidation through vigorous exercise. But, I mean, I think the core of our regenerative health initiative should be really three steps. And I'd like to outline these three steps if I can.
That would be great.
And I think protecting the integrity of our cells with nutrients that prevent free radical activity and oxidation. And what is free radical activity? For those of us who aren't aware, it's oxygen-containing molecules that are uneven in the number of electrons that they have for whatever reason, through toxins, through bad diet. This causes a chain reaction in the body, and these unstable atoms that are already damage our existing cells by borrowing electrons. And this is what causes internal rusting, if you will, much like you see on a piece of metal. And so basically, free radicals are unstable atoms that steal electrons from other atoms. So the process, this process begins at that point. So this is where free radical activity can grow and really create harm in our bodies. And we know now that the secondary part of that is inflammation, chronic inflammation. I recently saw a program on arthritis drug this was about 10 years ago, and it refreshed my memory, that seemed to not only be effective, obviously, in reducing the pain and inflammation of arthritis, but seemed to fight free radical activity, because it reduced inflammation systemically. The problem with that drug, however, was that it caused a severe weakening of the heart muscle, and it was pulled from the market as a result. But what that showed was that, again, by reducing chronic inflammation in the body and fighting free radical activity, one goes with the other. And we can do this naturally through natural substances. And we know that what some of these antioxidants are. We know vitamin C, vitamin E, selenium, the carotenoids, CoQ10, lipoic acid, vitamin D, zinc, allicin. Allicin is a very powerful antioxidant. So I think, number one, we protect ourselves from free radical activity. That would be step one. Most Americans are familiar with the term. Most Americans are familiar with your basic antioxidants. Actually, there are thousands of antioxidants that we have not identified yet, but we know exist in nature. Excuse me. So we know that antioxidants are essential for slowing this process, if you will. But step two is a focus on cellular vitality as part of your overall life-enhancing program. And this concerns cellular energy. The main source of cellular energy is glucose. Where is cellular energy produced? We know that it's produced in a powerhouse of the cell known as the mitochondria. And that produces something called ATP, which is formed constantly and produces more power to the cell, gives the cell more power. So what can we do to both feed and protect the mitochondria? Two key nutrients may hold the answer to that. So we know step one in our life extension program, if you will, each of us, and it's different for all of us, would be a strong free radical program, antioxidant program. The second step would be, well, what can we do to vitalize ourselves on a daily basis? How can we feed the mitochondria? We know this is a growing science, and I think we'll be hearing more about it in the coming years as an overall part of our life extension program. So, I mean, I think two of those key nutrients would be, number one, and this is a key, is alpha-lipoic acid. It's also known as the universal antioxidant. Alpha-lipoic acid is an antioxidant that helps prevent damage to the body cells. Food sources of alpha-lipoic acid are yeast, organ meats, liver, heart, spinach, broccoli, and potatoes. In Europe, alpha-lipoic acid has been used for years to provide relief from the pain and the tingling and the numbing caused by diabetic neuropathy. I was wondering, have you experienced any of that? And have you utilized alpha-lipoic? You have.
Yeah, I still have neuropathy. I've managed to confine it and in some cases reduce it, but I haven't been able to get rid of it yet. I take alpha-lipoic acid every day. I was watching a video today. I may need to up the dosage. I was taking one capsule a day. And then I read another article about how what we have is alpha-lipoic acid here is not as effective as the pharmaceutical grade that they prescribe in Germany, where it's a medication for neuropathy.
Yes.
So I have a few bottles of alpha-lipoic acid. I'll be researching it so that when I run out of those, I might get a better, brand, I guess, of alpha-lipoic acid.
All right. It's interesting you should share that with us because I'll be sharing this shortly. There are pharmaceuticals in here in the States that are doing some intense research on that. In Europe, it's been used for years for neuropathy. It appears to provide strong protection against metabolic syndrome, a condition linked to diabetes, stroke, and heart disease. Metabolic syndrome really affects all the cells and the endocrine system of the body, and not in a good way. And alpha-lipoic acid seems to be one of the warriors, if you will, to combat that environment. That environment also is more or less systemic. A metabolic syndrome is something that affects the entire body in one way or another. Causes of metabolic syndrome are obesity, insulin resistance, physical inactivity, and genetic factors, and increasing age, which means we all can be subject to metabolic syndrome at some point in our lives. There was a recent study of 36 patients with coronary heart disease. They found that a combination of ALA and L-carnitine reduced the blood pressure and improved cellular function of the brachial artery located in the upper arm and is the main supplier of blood to the arm and hand. So here we are, a combination of L-carnitine and ALA can produce some very positive effects in terms of cardiovascular health. The pharmaceutical companies in the States are focusing massive resources right now as we speak to develop drugs that target mitochondrial decay, which is now recognized as one of the major causes of chronic disease and aging. So here we are again, and that's why I think it benefits all of us to look at our health now in terms of these two stages, ingesting our basic antioxidants because we know how helpful they can be in fighting free radical activity and toxins in the body. And step two, what can we do to enliven mitochondrial activity on a daily basis? What supplements can we use? What foods can we ingest? I think the carotenoids are very important. We've already talked about alpha lipoic acid. I think lycopene is very essential as well. It's come down to a two-stage process, and I think it's only the beginning. We're still in the beginnings of a very exciting physiological science, if you will. And I think in the coming years, it's going to be even more prominent. Much of the efforts of the pharmaceuticals in the States have been aimed at a patentable version of alpha-lipoic acid. Now, as we speak, I don't know if that has been achieved yet by pharmaceuticals in this country, but they're looking for a patentable version of alpha-lipoic acid. And I don't know what the side effects of this would be, if any, because don't forget, we would be talking about a synthetic version of alpha-lipoic acid. And I would say this, by all means, we should all do our research and not close our minds to it. But I would say if we purchase a quality natural substances, we may have to take more, but that might be the better way to go. But I couldn't say either way, because I'm not familiar with all that the pharmaceuticals in this country are doing yet. But
right.
Studies have shown we do not have to wait for big pharma to develop a synthetic in order to combat mitochondrial dysfunction. We have the supplements are out there to revitalize and vitalize ourselves. So we know alpha-lipoic acid has many, many benefits, and that's why it's called the universal antioxidant, even in Europe. So I would encourage everyone to look into adding ALA to their program because I think it has whole body benefits in terms of our metabolism and cellular health. So I would certainly encourage those who are on it to continue. If they're not seeing the results that they expected, they might want to consider increasing the dosages. And I hope in our future programs, we'll be able to discuss more on just what the major pharmaceuticals in this country, where they stand and how they've progressed in this area.
That sounds like a great idea. One of the difficulties that I've always encountered in my researching is that information is contradictory. So,
yes,
for instance, my latest place where this is popping up is eggs. Because eggs comprise a part of my diet, and eggs they have nutrients that are helpful to my eyes and to my brain and for my diabetes. There's been plenty of research on that. But how many eggs should you eat a day, and which eggs are good to eat? There are opinions, and the opinions are by MDs, so it's not just folks who are on experimental journeys and sharing their journey, but they don't agree. I ran into this with how much protein should I consume a while back. And everyone had an opinion, and they seemed to have strong reasons backed by research, but the opinions were not the same opinion. So pretty much you're left on your own to make the best decision you can.
You really are, and that's an excellent point that you've made. What I'm confronting here in terms of, again, and right now I'm not addressing conventional practitioners. I'm addressing some practitioners in the holistic community that are encouraging the consumption of higher levels of fat on a daily basis. And they're claiming that saturated fat is not harmful. It doesn't cause heart disease. This flies in the face of 40 years of study to show exactly the opposite. And I can tell you that from my experience, no one I've ever counseled with, no one, and it's over 40 years, no case I've ever read where atherosclerosis and plaque and everything that comes along with the calcification in the arteries was caused by sugar alone. Never in 40 years. This concerns me. This concerns me, this high-fat fad that is ongoing in this country, not with everybody. Thank God we have people like Dr. Dean Ornish, who is, by the way, a recent discovery has been made in terms of his research that I'd like to share with you. Not only has he proven through his ultra-low-fat diet that you can reverse plaque in the arteries, something, by the way, that conventional medicine says, for the most part, cannot be done. All you can do is really prevent it from getting worse. He has recently conducted a study in dementia, and some of the results there are very interesting. He has been able to slow the symptoms of certain cases of dementia through, again, his ultra-low-fat carbohydrate diet, which does include grains. And this is exciting because there are those out there, especially in the keto community, that say this can't be done. But I know one doctor who has a center in New York who I know many years, I've had a relationship with him, who has said, and I quote, he said, I have to admit, Dr. Ornish has achieved a reversal in the plaque and a calcium buildup in the arteries with some of his studies. He has a farm in New York State, I believe, where he's brought patients for years. In fact, 60 Minutes devoted an entire segment on his ability to reverse the symptoms of angina, you know, with all of his ultra-low-fat diet. And people are not starving on this diet. You know, they're not starving. They're consuming lean protein. They're consuming fish. But they're very careful in terms of their consumption of saturated fat. You know, at the end of the day, I think our longevity will depend on two major factors. Excellent circulation and slowing the attack on our cells and free radical activity. And I think one it can go hand in hand with the other. Many antioxidants like garlic and allicin, not only do they fight free radicals, but what else do they do? Well, they increase circulation and lower cholesterol. So this is the recent research by Dr. Dean Ornish. I'm very concerned, and I will continue to be concerned about this high-fat fad, because most of the studies, and I agree with the American Heart Association for the most part on this, shows conclusively that many cancers, especially hormone-driven cancers, and cases of extreme plaque buildup in the heart have been caused by the overconsumption of saturated fats. So it's a concern for me because the science, for me, the most reliable science has shown otherwise. To me, this is a fad, and it concerns me. But that's where we are right now in terms of cardiovascular health. And yes, I agree with you. You'll get disagreement amongst the pros, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And that's where we're going to have to follow our own divine instincts, if you will, our own divine intuition to tell us what we should do with our. So that's where we are right now.
That is indeed where we are. And we have to rely on our inner guidance to guide us because, as we've been sharing, there are too many contradictory opinions. I've heard the opposite and the same opinions about the fat when I looked into that. And and again, the question is, who do you believe, you know, or what are they selling, or what's their record? Is it backed by anything? I found, for instance, and again, I'm still exploring this, that drinking 8 ounce cups of water 8 times a day minimally, it doesn't seem to be backed by anything. People repeat it, and even doctors repeat it, but I couldn't find anything that showed that it was based in any fact. And the reasons for drinking this much water also are not scientifically sound.
Well, I've seen that, you know, I've seen that as well, and I would tend to agree. Well, I think it's very important to keep the body hydrated, especially the kidneys. There is no solid evidence that you have to drink that much water per day in order to maintain, optimum health. I haven't seen it either, but it's something that's been recommended for years.
Like for instance, I'm in my 60s now, so I get up to pee more often during the night. That came as I got older. And I find if I'm drinking like 8 ounce glasses of water 8 times a day, it's unbearable to keep getting up every 20 or 30 minutes. You know, so there's something wrong there. And also, it doesn't sound right to have clear urine. You know, maybe the stuff you're flushing out is supposed to be inside of you. Bill Hinburn, we did a show on this, and he looked at both anecdotal and other evidence that, you know, showed that having clear urine is not healthy.
Yeah, but that, and there's contradictions there, too. I recently had my urine checked, and it was normal in every item. There were about 8 categories. Everything was normal, except in one category, it said cloudy, and the results there were abnormal. So they're now that's coming from the laboratory. This was maybe 3 months ago, as a matter of fact. What it means, I really don't know. I checked the medical books, and I went into my research, and I didn't see where it's anything all that serious. But here, there's, again, it's a direct contradiction to what you just shared, and that's coming from a laboratory. My urine was perfect right down the line. I think it was 15 categories, but it said my urine was cloudy, and they rated that as abnormal. So, again, I think it's important for us to just continue to do our research and see what's best for our bodies. I always say this. Anything I may share on the air tonight or in the future, don't take my word for it, but take the concepts. Take the concepts based on some science and run with that ball. Do your own research. The one substance I will recommend, and the magazine Men's Health recently ran a brief article on it. As you probably know, in the years that we've been sharing together, I'm very, very serious about a substance called IP6. Especially yes. When it comes yes. to cancer. I will continue to encourage everybody. Don't take my word, the word of bold spirits. Look into IP6, Men's Health magazine, which is fairly middle of the road. They recommended, they said it might be a good idea to pick yourself up a bottle of IP6 based on the research that continues to come in. The research is not as heavy as I would like amongst conventional institutions. But its anti-cancer properties, along with some other properties in terms of lowering blood sugar and lowering cholesterol, seems to be very impressive. It's a phytate, which means that it's something like a fiber, and it can do many, many things. But what it does most of all is, and what I find exciting, especially in hormone-driven cancers, is this ability to really slow the growth of cancers, and in many cases, stop them in their tracks. I say, do your research. Do the research. I've noticed even WebMD, some of these very conservative websites, if you will, have nothing negative to say about IP6. They say it looks promising in terms of fighting certain forms of cancer, but more research is needed. Well, they've been saying that for 20 years. The product has been out for 25 years, and it's had a patent on it up until recently. So I would encourage everyone, don't take the word of bold spirits. Do your research on IP6, because I think it definitely needs to be part of everyone's nutritional program. And, you know, some people say, well, it's really not that expensive. But I feel the investment is certainly worth it. When it comes to heart disease and cancer, none of us have any guarantees. But if we can hold on to concepts based on some scientific data, then there's where we should go in terms of our own personal research. So I would say to everyone, IP6, please look into it. Anyone in your family who's had cancer, suffering, or want to prevent the disease, look into IP6. Because for me, personally, everything I've seen over 20 years, it's very encouraging.
I actually, last time we talked about IP6, I actually ordered it. And I was taking it for a while. I couldn't notice any discernible difference. I discontinued it, as I do. But I still have the bottle here with my vitamins, and I was planning on starting it up again. So now you inspired me to start taking it again.
Well, and I'm glad about you. You may not feel anything physically, but do the research, and I can assure you that this is one protective nutrient that everyone should have in their program. I introduce it even my personal physician. And he came back to me a few weeks later. He said, he said, it's really interesting. He said, I may be recommending it to my cancer patients. And I love my doctor. He's a great guy, a great researcher. He's very open-minded. So again, when it comes to cancer, there's never any guarantees. But if there's something we can do that can prevent the disease, fight the disease, which is still, we're still a long ways from where I feel we need to be. By all means, we should look into it seriously. So inositol hexylphosphate, look into it, because I think it should be part of everyone's overall protective nutrient program.
So that'll be everybody's homework until next time, to start researching the substance and try it for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The next few minutes I'd like to take, tonight we were talking about mitochondrial vitality, and we covered ascorbic acid. I'd like to take a few minutes to discuss the next most powerful mitochondria stimulant, and which, of course, we're all familiar with, and we've just discussed, was CoQ10. And if I could take a few minutes, the European Journal of Heart Failure has published data from one of the most robust studies on CoQ10. This 10-year study conclusively showed that CoQ10 supplementation can restore deficient CoQ2 levels in patients with moderate and severe heart failure and extend lifespan and improve the quality of life. The compelling results were from a 10-year-long study that found patients who took 100 milligrams of CoQ10 three times a day were significantly less likely to die of heart failure. Less than half were as likely to die from heart arrhythmias. Half as likely to die of a major cardiac events during the study as compared to other controlled subjects. Now, this is in terms of CoQ10 and the heart. After only 3 months of supplementation, the researchers detected a trend toward reduced levels of blood markers of heart failure severity that are released from the overworked heart muscle. At 2 years, significantly more patients treated with CoQ10 had improved heart function than did placebo recipients. Loss of efficient energy management or bioenergetics is a root cause of heart failure and many other conditions connected with aging. And this all has to go, this all goes back to mitochondrial vitality. So perhaps in our next segment, we could discuss L-carnitine, but in this segment, it's major warriors, if you will, in providing us with greater cellular vitality. So I would like to just leave that tonight as something for the listeners to think about as well.
So I take CoQ10 several times a week, like every other day. And if I skip a day, I take it the following day. And the ascorbic acid I take daily. But again, I believe I'm underdosing myself. So I'm going to check into that before I increase my dosage.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's a good idea. And it's always a factor. I was talking to a heart patient today, as a matter of fact, came to visit. And I said, you know, the problem a lot of times with natural therapies is there may be a recommendation on the bottle, manufacturing vein, but we may, through research, may have to increase that dosage. Well, nothing's happening. Well, maybe we have to take it upon ourselves. Chances are, unless we have natural paths in our lives, they're not going to get this information any other way. So it's through personal research where we glean the gold, if you will, in terms of what direction we should be moving in.
Very well said.
So those are the two cellular enhancers I want to discuss tonight. I think they should be part of everyone's program. And, of course, as a sidelight, but no less important, is IP6. Everyone listening, do your research. It's an incredibly valuable nutrient. And maybe in our next segment, I can do some of the research I've seen on it, which on conventional programs, by the way, these were not health programs. And the research was quite amazing. So maybe next time we can explore that area.
That would be fantastic. And in addition to your own segment, I'm restructuring Sword and Sandal Cinema on a rotation. So I'd like to put you on the rotation, and this way every couple of months you'll be on to discuss Sword and Sandal Cinema. Or every 3 months. I don't know what it'll work out to. I have to sit down and balance everybody. Mm-hmm. But Brian has a rotation. The scholars from the Edge of Time, Nicholas and Michelle, have a rotation. Ron Carson's pretty much just his show. So I'd love to put you in there. One of our other hosts, Michael K. Waterman, He's also going to be on there next month to talk about Cleopatra, the film with Richard Burton and Elizabeth. Oh God, I'm drawing a blank on the last name.
Elizabeth Taylor. Yeah.
Yes. So.
Great film.
So we're going to be talking about that a little bit more often. So we'll definitely let you know when those are happening. And we haven't talked about UFOs in a while. I'm working on that as well, where there'll be a rotation show. And this way, folks who are busy and can't come on very often, at least they'll be heard on a regular basis, even though that basis might be a few months in the coming. So I have you on that rotation also.
I would love to share in that area. There's some recent information, too, I would love to discuss. So, yes, I would very much enjoy being a part of that.
And you're an awesome individual, Michael. I've told you that before, and I repeat it now. And you're very generous in sharing your information, and your publications are very available and affordable. And you always encourage people to do their own research and to use their own inner judgment to pick a course of action. And that speaks to your integrity. Because many people speak about these things that they just want to say something. So it's very refreshing to hear somebody telling you, this is what I found, this is what I'm doing. Go look it up, and if it resonates with you, then you can try and do your own experiments.
Well, I appreciate that, and that's why you're here as well. And it's great to be with the Son of Zeus once more. It's been a while.
I'm honored by your words. How can people reach you, Michael?
They can write to me at Michael Del Rossi, Post Office Box 129. That's still Caldwell, New Jersey, 07006. I do prayer work both on my Facebook and privately. I believe in applying energy to prayer work, personal energy, physical energy. And so they can send me letters. I will pray over them. I've had some recent great stories of answered prayer, and I'm nothing more than a channel, hopefully an effective channel. So I do my own specific prayer, white light prayer work, and they can send me their prayer week 129, Caldwell, New Jersey, 07006, and I will pray over every letter and get back if I can.
Thank you very much. That's very much appreciated. I do prayer work also, mostly on Facebook. People seem to send me requests for prayers there, so I've been doing that for a while. It's very satisfying, and it's especially satisfying when something very positive happens and people get back to you and let you know.
Yes, one of your recent meditations affected me greatly, and it was a very positive aspect in my life. So, yes, thank you for that.
And thank you for everything. And thanks to our audience for tuning in tonight, whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here, whether you called in and you're patiently waiting in our queue, or whether you're going to check us out later on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. Thanks again, Michael, and good night.
Blessings always.
Bye, everyone.